This is Olive, and I'm 11 years old, and I live in Southside.
This is Cooper, and I'm 4 years old.
This is Elena. I'm 13 years old and live in Spickley.
This is Julian. I'm 14 years old and live in Highland Park. And this is the Kidsburg Podcast.
Hello, and thanks for joining us for the Kidsburg Podcast. We are excited to share a whole lot of inspiration, ideas for adventures with kids, and honest answers to questions we've asked teenagers from the Pittsburgh area. I'm Kidsburg producer and KDKA anchor Christine Sorensen, and I'm here with my partners on the Kidsburg team.
Hi, Christine. I'm Melissa Rayworth, editor at Kidsburg.org, and I am so glad we can share our interview with medal-winning Olympic athlete and motivational speaker Lauren Williams with all the parents and kids listening right now.
I'm Kidsburg director Yuling Chang. There's so many valuable ideas and moments of inspiration in this episode. As our regular listeners know, we start every episode with a Pittsburgh gem, someplace that's truly cool but not everybody in this region may know about. Today, we're talking about Boyce Park.
Thanks, Yuling. One of the great things about living in the Pittsburgh area is that we've got so many city and county parks for families to choose from. But many families may not realize that Boyce Park, which covers more than 1,000 acres, mostly in Plum Township and also extending a little bit into Monroeville, has some really unique features for winter fun. Boyce has the only downhill skiing and snow tubing hills available within the Allegheny County Park system, and it's got hills for all ages and for all skill levels. The park also has one of the longest snowboarding half pipes in all of Pennsylvania, and it's right near the city. So for families who thought that skiing had to be a full day trip out to Seven Springs or Hidden Valley, Boyce is a wonderful option that's so much closer to home. It's about a half hour from downtown, and it's also so much less expensive. If you're an Allegheny County resident, last year the price for a lift ticket was just $15 on weekdays and $20 on the weekends and holidays. And you also get discounts on renting ski equipment, and you can rent everything so you don't have to have it. It's a great place to try skiing if you or your kids are brand new to this and it's something you want to give a try to this winter.
Well, I'm a huge fan of skiing. I started skiing when I was little, and I really do see it as a gift to give your children to teach them to ski when they're young because it is so much easier to learn when you're a child. And it's not affordable for a lot of people. And this, I love how it makes it affordable and easy, and hopefully more kids can learn how much fun skiing and all the different winter sports can be out there.
Yeah,
it really is a gem to have Boyce Park. And what I love about skiing is it's something you can do outside all day if you want to spend all day doing that with your kids. But it's also good quality time. I mean, taking the ski lift up, it gives you time to chat with your kids, ask them what's going on, you learn new things, and then you race each other down the hill afterwards.
And it's really hard to get your phone out with your mittens on, so they're tech-free.
That matters. That really matters. And wow, that is, Yuling, I hadn't thought about that. That is so cool that in a way it's like two different activities because there's when you're skiing down the hill, but like you said, there's also that time just sort of on the lift or whatever. Oh, that's so cool.
That might actually be my favorite part of skiing.
I also noticed that for the littlest kids, they mention on the park's website that lift tickets for kids 5 and under are free. So the really little ones, even if whether or not they may be skiing, can still be riding on the lift with the family and there's no cost. At Kidsburg.org, we often include events happening at the Allegheny County Parks, including Boyce, in our event guides and on our calendar. To learn more, you'll find links at Kidsburg.org/podcast.
Pittsburgh is Kidsburg. You're listening to the Kidsburg Podcast.
Pittsburgh is a city that loves its sports, and we're excited for our next guest on the Kidsburg Podcast. Lauren Williams is the first American woman to medal in both the Summer and Winter Olympics. She is a three-time Olympian in track and field and bobsledding. She competed in the Athens, Beijing, and London Summer Games, as well as the 2014 Sochi Winter Olympics. In addition to her incredible athletic accomplishments, Lauren started her own financial planning company called Worth Winning in 2016 and is a sought-after motivational speaker, active volunteer, and podcaster. Lauren, thank you for joining us today. Welcome.
It's so good to be on the show. Thanks for having me today.
Oh, we have so many questions to ask you. But first, we want to start with you telling us your story about how you fell in love with running. And we understand that a visit to the Carnegie Science Center may have inspired a part of your story.
Yes, the Carnegie Science Center is where my dad says it all started. We went to just, you know, spend a day out, and they happened to have a Flojo hologram at that time. The Flojo hologram was my obsession for the whole day. So my dad says I didn't see anything else during the time that I was there. I raced the hologram until I beat it. I assume that it probably wasn't set at world record pace, but that's when he knew I had some talent and I should be getting into a track and field program.
I love that story because we've all been to the Carnegie Science Center, one of the jewels here in Pittsburgh area. I mean, it's been so incredible to watch you participate in three of the Summer Olympics. Of course, so many of us enjoyed watching the recent Paris Olympics with our families. Can you describe what it's like to be an Olympian in the middle of all that excitement?
Yeah, it's so cool because you get to watch kind of the changing of the guard and see the next generation of sport go further than we ever went. And, you know, see technology and see all the different things that we're using now, better nutrition, all the information that we have available being used to break records. And like I said, to go faster, to go further, to go higher is just like a really cool thing to be able to look back on my career and say, hey, I started to pave the way and here's the next generation of athletes.
And when you were in the middle of competing, are there nerves? Is it excitement? Is it pride for your country? What were you feeling?
A little bit of each of those. So I would say the nerves is the biggest thing that I felt. I felt like I had to represent United States so well. And it's like not just the United States, but I also had to represent the state of Pennsylvania. I had to represent the town of Pittsburgh. And so many people were counting on me that I got myself really, really nervous. But I was able to channel that energy into excitement and get myself ready to be able to participate and, you know, run to the best of my ability.
That's incredible. Well, you made us all very proud. We are in awe of what you accomplished. Many times we think of Olympians as specializing in one sport, but you then became an Olympic silver medalist in bobsledding. Can you share the journey you made from a summer sport to a winter sport?
Yes, it was kind of like serendipity, if you will. I was finishing up my track and field career and thinking, what am I going to do next? Who do I want to be when I grow up? And I ran into a girl in the airport on my way to a track and field race who had tried bobsled. And she's like, Lauren, it's amazing. You should absolutely give it a try. And she's like, and it's also the Olympic year. And I'm like, I was definitely not thinking Olympics. I was just thinking like recreational bobsled, which is not a thing. Little did I know that 6 months later, I'd be at the Olympic Games.
Wow. Well, that was what a transition. We love that. I mean, all Olympians, all athletes have to overcome challenges along the way, disappointment. I remember one of your races where in a relay, the baton was dropped and how difficult that must have been. Explain for us how you deal with things like that, where there's a challenge or a disappointment, things don't turn out the way you had wanted them to.
Yeah, unfortunately in life, you know, we all experience disappointments, and those were some really tough ones. We actually ended up botching the handoff twice, once in 2004 and then again in 2008. And it's really tough to be on a world stage, to have everyone watching you, and you not be able to deliver what people thought that you were able to do. Everyone saw your potential, and this just didn't pan out the way that it was or the way that you expected it to. So you feel a little bit of shame. You feel a lot of embarrassment. You know, you have regrets about, you know, what you wish you could have done this time, that time, or if, you know, if the race had been 5 minutes sooner or 5 minutes later, how it could have turned out differently. But ultimately what I've learned is that you can't focus on the negative thing that's happened. You have to focus on what you can learn from it. And you have to focus on how you're going to change in the future. Because while you feel that shame in the moment, your parents are still going to love you. Your friends are still going to be your friends. And, you know, America is happy to have you representing their country. So they're going to continue to wrap their arms around you because they realize how much work and effort goes into it. So I think sometimes we put too much pressure on ourselves when we make a mistake or we, you know, we have some sort of disappointment instead of saying, hey, what can I learn from this? And what can I do differently in the future?
That is such great advice. You know, I want to touch on that a little bit more. So many youth athletes look up to Olympians, and they work so hard to be their best, and they train, and they just want to do great things. But what advice do you have for them as they're going through their journey, and how can they enjoy the journey at the same time?
I think the key piece of enjoying the journey is, you know, making the most of each and every moment. What we also make the mistake of doing is focusing on the end result. I want to be an Olympian. I want to be an Olympic gold medalist. I want to be the world record holder. It takes a lot of steps to be able to accomplish those things. And what you miss out on if you're only focused on the goal and the accomplishment at the very end is everything that happened along the way. The process and the journey is actually the thing that is most important, and we so frequently forget that. So my one thing would be to stay in the moment, appreciate the moment, even when it's not a great one. So as an example, you're going to go to practice sometimes and you're going to be awesome. You're going to be like, wow, I am the best version of myself that I could be. I'm going to be so awesome in my next competition. And then the next day you might be sore, you might be tired, and now you have a completely terrible practice. You know, you can't decide that I'm not going to be able to ever compete again, or I'm the worst athlete ever. Instead, you use that moment and say like, woo, you know, I worked really hard yesterday and that's why I'm sore today. You know, it doesn't feel great right now. I didn't hit the times I was supposed to, but this is a building block for what I want to accomplish in the future. And if you stay in each of those moments, you'll build up and you'll look back on those moments and say, I appreciate the accomplishment, even if it's not the gold medal, even if it's not the world record. Because I remember all the things that I accomplished on the way. I remember the day that I showed up, even though I was sore, even though I was tired, and I conquered that, and I'm a better person because of it.
Oh man, so much to learn from that. Thank you. Lauren, I love that you're also an entrepreneur. You started your financial planning company. What inspired you to start that? And what did you learn from all your years training as an athlete and an Olympian that helped you start that business?
So I think one of the things that being an Olympian has taught me is you've got to be able to pivot in the moment and make the most of whatever it is that is the solution you have. So as an example, when that relay didn't go so well, in the moment, turned around, went back and picked up the baton and kept on running. So being able to make adjustments when necessary is incredibly important. And that's what I took on to, you know, deciding to start a financial planning firm. It's like, hey, here's a thing that's missing from this thing that I want to do, which is organize my finances. And what was missing was there wasn't a lot of companies that were helping young professionals. So, you know, I was in my 20s when I started to earn money. And a lot of the firms, the financial planning places that you will go, they say, hey, you need to have $1 million before you can be a client here. And it's like, well, how am I going to get $1 million if no one teaches me what I need to do? You know, I need that baseline information. And so I realized there was a gap in the industry. And I was like, okay, I'm going to pivot and I'm going to learn more about this so that I can actually help people, because there's people that are not being served like me. In the same way, when you're competing in a sport, there's some need that's not being met. You need to pivot and get over there and find a solution and keep it moving. I think that's one of the things that, like, I really love about the idea of how sport and finances kind of meld together all the time.
And I love, as an entrepreneur, how you saw a need and you said, I am going to tackle that need in the community. We have one last question for you. It's just a fun one. We understand you love to cook. So what's your favorite dish to make?
Ooh, this is a great question. I do absolutely love to cook. I've been on a baking spree lately, and I've made my own recipe for chocolate chip cookies and one for oatmeal raisin cookies. You know, there's so many different recipes out there, so many great ones, but I was like, what does it look like to just kind of keep trying and iterating until you find the one that, like, this is my cookie. It's a little bit different than everybody else's, but I can also say that, like, you can't just Google this. So my friends love it, and I love being able to say that this is something that I uniquely created. But I love cooking also crab. That's my favorite food. Lots of soups. Pretty much anything. You name it, I love to cook.
All right, you're making me hungry now.
My mouth's watering.
Lauren, thank you so much for taking the time to share with us your experience as an Olympian, how you started your own business, advice that you have for kids when they face disappointment and learning how to pivot, and most importantly, enjoying every step of the journey along the way. Thank you so much for being a part of our podcast.
Thank you for having me on. I hope it helps someone.
Oh, it will. Thanks, Lauren. So one thing I loved about this interview, I think especially for the adults and the kids listening, is that Lauren talked about the reality of being really nervous when she was competing and wanting so much to make everybody proud, but also finding a way to channel those nerves into excitement. I think often kids figure if they're going to do something difficult, if they're nervous, like, that's not a good thing. But we're all going to be nervous. We actually can take a moment and say, okay, I've got all this nervous energy, but I'm going to sort of channel that into excitement. So I thought that was kind of cool.
I love that. And kind of along those lines, being proud of the things you've overcome, whether it's overcoming nerves or even just showing up when you don't feel like it and you're sore and you're tired. And yeah. I think about sometimes our kids, they don't have something big to show for all their efforts, but sometimes those little things, we can express that we're proud of them for those little things too, because those are end up to be big things.
Yeah.
Those everyday moments really do matter. I mean, I love that she said, don't focus on just the end goal, but take in every single day. Mm. And I also love that she talked about learning as being able to pivot in the moment. Right. So you think about her dropping the baton and pivoting and picking it up, right? Pivoting from track and field to bobsledding and then to owning her own business.
Yeah.
It's a great story and it's such an inspiration.
Yep. And it's really cool that she talked about the fact that sometimes the baton is going to get dropped. There are going to be problems. But I love that she said you can't focus on the negative thing. Instead, she said, focus on what you can learn from it and how you're going to change in the future. And I think we hear that from so many educators, from so many people all throughout the Pittsburgh area, that part of doing new things and big things is failing. That's not a surprise. That's actually part of the deal. It's just all about then what you learn from it and how you pick up from there.
Absolutely. And you can find a link to Lauren's website at kidsburg.org/podcast. Her thoughts on this podcast can be a great source of inspiration for kids who are loving a sport or other activity and maybe dreaming of doing it at the highest level. And in just a moment, we're going to hear some real talk from local teenagers about what adults can do better to support kids who are in sports or other after-school activities.
You're listening to the Kidsburg Podcast.
Pittsburgh is Kidsburg.
Does your child love a particular sport or extracurricular activity? The students at SLB Radio's Youth Media Center helped us out by asking other students this question. What can adults do better to support kids in sports and other after-school activities? Let's hear what they said.
Whenever it comes to like sports and trying to cheer them on, you definitely want to make sure you can get them to their practices and also show up to their games so you can like cheer them on at their games.
It's better if they like go to your activities that you do. They show they want you to do that sport or like activity.
Shouldn't pressure the child to be number one in the spot, but try to encourage them and don't pressure them too much, because after a while, they're going to snap, and then they're not going to want to do anything they want to do anymore because they feel trapped.
While doing physical activity or sports or anything like just using the action, stretching is usually really, really important. So if you don't want your bones sounding like creaking metal or opening door hinges that aren't oiled up, stretching is really important.
Definitely just giving unconditional support, because we're still exploring the world. We don't really know what we like or what we don't like. So just being patient with us and allowing us to have the space and time to explore like anything that we're relatively interested in.
My name is Alex.
This is Sophia.
My name is Jose.
My name is Ariana.
From the Youth Media Center at SLB Radio, this is Megan. Thank you for listening.
We covered a lot in this episode, and we've got much more to come in the next Kidsburg podcast episode.
We're posting 6 episodes this fall, and you can check out the 6 that dropped last spring as well. Just go to kidsburg.org/podcast to find them all, and be sure to sign up for our weekly newsletter so that you can find all the news stories and online guides that help grown-ups with the big, beautiful job of parenting in the Pittsburgh region and beyond.
This is Rocco. I'm in 7th grade and homeschooled, and this is the Kidsburg Podcast.
On the next Kidsburg Podcast, we talk with Pittsburgh icon Bill Strickland about setting the stage to help kids thrive. Plus, we take you inside the remarkable Contemporary Craft Museum, and we spill the tea with teens, getting their thoughts on why arts education really matters.
Until then, we hope you'll visit kidsburg.org to learn about the resources and advice from local experts that can help all kids have the best opportunity to thrive.